Rise up in splendor, O Jerusalem, your light has come, the glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to tell you a short story about a Franciscan priest that I met on the East Coast, different congregation from the example I gave you a couple weeks ago. And this was a very holy priest. His name is Father Luke, and I once asked him if he had always been a good Catholic. And I was very surprised to hear that he had a pretty rough background. This is part of his public testimony, not revealing anything private. But his own public conversion story is very beautiful. Rather, maybe beautiful is not the right word. It's very jarring. He told me he was headbanging at a death metal concert as a teenager. As you know, death metal is satanic. His headbanging at a satanic death metal concert as a teenager, and he looked around and God let him see real live demons headbanging with him. And he realized he was on the wrong side of things. And he had an instantaneous conversion. And he entered the Catholic faith. He went to a good Catholic university. And when I met him, he had already been a good holy Franciscan priest in New York City for several years. Now, as I said, his name is Father Luke. And as you know, diocesan priests like me, we retain our baptismal name. So my birth certificate says David. But his didn't say Luke, because religious get new names, usually from their superior. And that indicates the beginning of a new life, much like Abram going to Abraham, or in the New Testament, Simon becoming Peter. Father Luke actually had a say in his name, and this is why. Sometime after his conversion, he opened the Bible. I think he was asking something about himself. And he opened right to Ephesians 5:8 that said, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Luke means light. Notice in Ephesians 5:8 there, it did not say that you were in darkness and now you are in the light. It said, once you were darkness and now you are light. So here we have this guy who was a teenager headbanging with demons. Obviously, he was darkness. And now as a holy Franciscan priest, he is light to New York City. Father Luke, that name. Well, this is what Epiphany is about. It's light coming to darkness. Let's look at the whole world for a minute as we look at Epiphany, this great feast day. Think frequently in this debate about if non-Christians can be saved. And that's really kind of the big question everyone really seems to have for us as intense Catholics. Well, do you think not intense Catholics are going to hell? And do you think Protestants are going to hell? And do you think Mormons are going to hell? And do you think that non-Christians are going to hell? Everyone wants to know who we think is going to hell, right? But let's not even go there. Let's just talk about the presupposition that the world has in asking that question of us that we have a little bit different. Because frequently in this debate about if non-Christians can be saved, people use the example of like a relatively good pygmy family from Papua New Guinea or that good Mormon family in Salt Lake City. You really think they're going to hell. But I just want you to think of all the headlines you can remember from 2017. I don't think many people here watch the news. As you know, I don't even have a TV, but if you look at the apps on your phone and you look at the news occasionally, just think of the worst stories of 2017. Think of the worst things happening in the world right now. That is a world without Christ. You know, growing up under what I call social justice Catholicism, kind of the catechesis I heard in 10 years of Catholic grade school, before 8 years in Catholic high school and college, even those first 10 years of Catholic grade school taught us sort of this social justice Catholicism in the 1980s, where we're basically taught that this earth is closer to heaven than hell. What I mean by that is that social justice Catholicism is kind of like this, that except some inner city crime, things are pretty good here in the world. Even that poverty we humans can take care of with either soup kitchens or, if one was really serious, lobbying the big governments of the world to help the poor as we would want them to. The more I look into the true teaching of original sin according to the Catholic Church, the more I see that this earth is closer to hell than it is to heaven. I don't mean that in an extremist way. I don't mean it in the Calvinist way of total depravity. And I know that hardly sounds like good news on Epiphany, but it's extremely good news. And I'm going to give you three reasons why it's actually extremely good news when we start to realize this earth is closer to hell than it is to heaven. First reason is this: we have a better explanation of Christianity to unbelievers if we admit that God did not plan so much hatred in the world or wars in the world. This is man's darkness. As St. Ignatius of Loyola says in his spiritual exercises, he has us meditate in the second week, the first day on the incarnation, and he writes, quote, "I will see and consider the three divine persons seated on the royal dais or throne of the divine majesty." He's having all these people, even lay people, meditate on what it was like before Jesus became man. What was it like for God to look down from heaven and see earth in the year zero, 2,000 years ago? Was it everyone holding hands like the children of the world stole? Or was it, well, here's what he says. "They look down," they as in the Blessed Trinity, "looks down upon the whole surface of the earth, and behold, all nations in great blindness, going down to death and descending into hell. They wound, they kill, they go down to hell. They decree in their eternity that the second person of the Trinity should become man to save the human race. So when the fullness of time had come, they send the angel Gabriel to Our Lady." Close quote. Do you see how different this is from the heresy of modernism? We all love these National Geographic pictures of people getting along in all the nations. But St. Ignatius says something different. He says, all nations are in great blindness. What do? They wound, they kill, they go down to hell. This leads to number two, why this is actually great news. Number two, we can stop expecting so much from this world when we admit original sin. We can stop expecting this world to deliver our happiness when we really admit how serious original sin is. If we think of earth as closer to hell than heaven, we will never conflate this earth with our true home, which is heaven. We'll expect less happiness on earth, and ironically, very ironically, we'll be happier. Under promise, over deliver. I even kind of follow that philosophy to my own heart. Under promise, over deliver to your own heart. And number three, when we admit this world is dark, then we are overwhelmed by the joy of Christ's coming. That's why the powerful part of Ignatius' meditation, that he even led thousands of lay people in, is this light breaking into the darkness. Three divine persons seated on the royal dais or throne of the divine majesty, they look down, they decree in their eternity that the second person should become man to save the human race. So when the fullness of time had come, they send the angel Gabriel to Our Lady. And this is what Epiphany is about. Light coming to a world already shrouded in darkness. We really weren't doing okay on our own. Let's look briefly at the three mysteries of Epiphany. First is the Magi. The three Magi come. Isn't it amazing that Isaiah 60, 600 years before Christ, named them where they would come with their dromedaries, with their camels? This is why the liturgy chose today Isaiah 60, if you were following along in your missal. Where did they come from? Melchior is from modern-day Iran. Yes, a place of great darkness, today and back then. Balthazar is from modern-day Iraq. Yes, a place of great darkness, then and today. Caspar is from modern-day India. Yes, a place of great darkness, way back then and today. And just so you don't think I'm being racist, remember that the United States has a higher abortion rate than any of those countries 2,000 years ago or now. So we're actually in greater darkness, just so you know. We're not a Christian nation. But the point is that they weren't relying on these little conscience clauses to think they might be saved. These three magi from Iran and Iraq and India, they had the clarity to admit they lived in darkness and they were seeking the light. Did they know his name would be Jesus by that point? I don't know. But as we heard in Isaiah 60 today, "See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples." For so long, humanity had sought the light. But today on Epiphany, it's not us seeking a light, it's the light now seeking us, exploding onto the scene of earth. Isaiah writes, "See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory." Today is this great day. It's not man who finds God, but it's God who reveals himself in love to man. Rise up in splendor, O Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. This is why that first reading, Isaiah 60, that we heard in the Mass today, that I just quoted, it's so key to the three mysteries of Epiphany. The three mysteries of Epiphany being the Magi visiting Christ, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, and the wedding feast of Cana. Notice that in all three of these, God is manifesting his own glory to man. Let's look very briefly at all three of these. Number one, the Magi are led by the star. Think about how bright a star is. Remember how we learned that just the sun is just a medium-style star? Think of how bright a star is. And this is only a signpost to Christ, the child being born. Created light leading to uncreated light. The Magi enter the cave to see the child. How did they know to fall down and worship? We heard in the Latin, adoraverunt, Matthew 2:11, and entering the house, they found the child with Mary's mother, and falling down, they adored him. If you remember, that's where we actually genuflected in the traditional Latin Mass at that point. Falling down, they adored him and opened their treasures. They offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Number two, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan. And St. Luke tells us, "Now it came to pass, when all the people were baptized, that Jesus also being baptized and praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape as a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.'" And thirdly, the wedding feast of Cana. Was this the first miracle of Jesus? Well, no, of course the first miracle of Jesus was the second person of the Trinity, the divine word, becoming a zygote, God becoming man. But the wedding feast of Cana is his first visible manifestation to man. That's what Epiphany means, is manifestation. Why do we need this? The answer is because we live in darkness. In some sense, we can't appreciate the light if we don't recognize the darkness of the world we live in, to see that we really need Christ and his church. We are not a light to ourselves. The gospel cannot be light streaming into our lives if we don't admit our earth is shrouded in darkness. If I don't admit my heart is shrouded in darkness. In short, we need a Savior. And if we think a good conscience is enough to be saved, we have not admitted the darkness of our hearts. We have not admitted the darkness of the world. When we admit the world is totally lost without Jesus Christ, when we admit that we are totally lost without Jesus Christ and the saving doctrine of the Catholic Church, we too, like the three kings, can then be lost in the wonder of adoration of this child who is the light of the world. Rise up in splendor, O Jerusalem, your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.